I am going to call the meeting, the November meeting of the Goleta Library Advisory Commission to order at 6:08 PM. And now we will do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so now we are ready for the roll call of the Library Advisory Commission. And I think that's you, Jenna, is that correct?
Yes. Vice Chair Murray?
Present.
Commissioner Callanan?
Present.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Present.
Okay, so I believe now we are ready for public forum.
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to any item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself. Vice Chairman, I see no public comment.
Okay, then we will move on to the consent calendar. So the item on our consent calendar is the approval of our meeting minutes from last month on Monday, October 3rd. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve those minutes?
Make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I will second.
Okay. Do we have to do a roll call on this, Janet?
Yes.
Okay.
Vice Chair Murray?
I approve.
Commissioner Callanan?
I approve.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries. The meeting minutes are approved. So now we'll move on to the director's report.
Okay, as you know, every month I give you a report. This report concerns September 2022. We were very excited that the Goleta Lemon Festival was held again. We always have a table at the festival. This year we interacted with over 1,100 people. We made well over 100 new library cards. And we were able to talk with all of the folks that came to the table about our services and materials available for borrowing. We always have a great time at this event, and it was really nice. You know, it showed that things are starting to go back to normal to be able to attend this event. I'm a member of the UCSB Reads Committee, and we chose this year's title, which has not yet been announced, but it's an interesting one. And we always participate with them. They send a couple of speakers to help out with our book discussion meeting. The library had 13,184 visitors, and the book van had 449. Patrons checked out a total of 44,584 items in September, and our 39 volunteers, that's both teen and adult, worked a total of 256 hours. There were 2,144 computer sessions, both adult and children's, and 2,436 people used our wireless account. We held 32 in-person programs, which attracted 852 attendees. So we're seeing huge attendance at our in-person programs, actually much higher than we were seeing pre-COVID. So we're not sure what that means. The assistant city attorney and I worked on a multi-purpose room policy, which I'm hoping to bring before you next month. In October, I know I promised that we would be ordering new books, but we continue to have issues with our computer system. We did finally start ordering some books though, and are hoping that we've run through the kinks and will be really hitting the ground running very shortly. And then as we're running out of room in the adult mystery and adult fiction sections and anticipating ordering a large number of those items in this fiscal year, I began shifting the adult nonfiction books to make room for moving large print. This in turn will make room for the adult fiction section, which then we will shift and will give us more room in adult mysteries. It's a very daunting task and time-consuming one. However, it does give me an opportunity to check each book in the adult collection for condition. You know, spines of books give out after a number of circulations. I made it through the 19s and then I broke my arm Tuesday, so I'm not sure how I'm going to finish that, but I will figure it out. The state report regarding the finances of the book van were due. We had, as you will recall, we had a grant from Senator Lamone for $200,000 that was supposed to last us through July 1st, 2023. However, we will have expended the full $200,000 by the end of this quarter, so by the end of December. City Council has approved dipping into library reserves to pay for the program to run through June 2023, the official end of the grant program. And that money basically will be paid, used for paying for staffing and for fuel. We are investigating alternate sources of funding to keep the program running in the fiscal year 2023-24, where we would like to not only have the book van running in Isla Vista, but we would also have it running at the various schools in the rest of the areas that Goleta Library serves. So that's my report for this month, and I'd be happy to answer any questions if anyone has any.
I have a question. With the movement of the books to make more room for adult mystery, you said that it was good because then you can inspect each volume, right, each book that you have. So how frequently do you normally do that?
We very rarely do it because it's such a huge project. Normally, the way we capture these is when they are returned to the library. I try to ask the circulation staff to look through each item that comes through and pull the ones that have broken spines or pages that are falling out or covers that are in bad condition. But sometimes when it gets busy, they don't have the time to do that. So I'm finding a lot, particularly in the nonfiction section where the books tend to be larger than most, like the art section, cookbooks, graphic novels, things like that. So we probably haven't done this for about 10 years. Can I answer any other questions?
Dave,
I think you're silent. You're muted.
God, you can't have one meeting without someone doing that, right? sorry about that. You had 852 attendees. I was just curious, how many events was that over? I missed the sort of per person because it's exciting to see that many people in the library.
Yeah, we had 32 programs.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you.
I can't remember if one of those was the Star Wars program where we had 1,400 people attend. Which is by far the biggest amount of it. It was an all-day thing. And we were absolutely shocked. We were hoping for like 80 people. So, yes.
So what was the theme of the Star Wars? I mean, obviously the theme, what was the really the hook on the Star Wars out of curiosity?
Well, October is October and early or late September is Star Wars Reads Month. So we decorate the heck out of the library. And there's a local chapter of the groups that dress up in the Star Wars costumes that are really professional looking. So there were two groups of them that are somewhat local, and they agreed to come to the library and greet kids. And then we had lots of craft programs that were based around Star Wars. We had lots of giveaways and contests. And of course, we ran out of everything because even though we had, I think, up to 300 of one of the crafts, you know, we ran out really early on. So it was a real shocker for us.
Wow. That's awesome, but I'm sure chaotic at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay, if there aren't, oh.
If it's okay. So related to that question, Allison, you made the comment that generally the user numbers are above pre-pandemic levels. And then you kind of said, you know, acknowledged that you don't really have an explanation for that. But maybe just asking you to speculate a little bit. I mean, that is an interesting phenomenon, and I'm just wondering, you know, do you think that's happening at libraries around the state, at different branches? I mean, there's so many things that are happening out of this pandemic recovery that we can't explain, and it's just interesting, I think, and very positive for you to make that statement that your numbers are back and above what they were pre-pandemic. So I'm just wondering if you had any other thoughts about that phenomenon.
Well, this state report that I'll be showing you shortly, we had to do a whole bunch of statistics on virtual programs and in-person programs because we did a combination of both in the last fiscal year. And I think that we attracted a number of families that hadn't used the library before by doing the virtual programs. And now they are making the effort to come to the library physically. And I think that we have a full staff now, almost. We've hired the full staff, and they'll be onboarded by the end of December. So I have more people offering programs in the children's and adult departments. So just our offering of programs is way up. And we do a lot of passive programming as well. And I'll talk about that when I talk about the state report as well. So I think it's a combination of those two things. And as you'll see as well, our circulation has pretty much doubled since last year. And that's still not up to pre-pandemic levels, but it definitely shows a trend that we're heading that way.
Okay, if there are no more questions, we can move on to the next item in the agenda, which is the 21-22 California Public Libraries Survey.
Before we do, Vice Chairman, if I could call for public comment.
Okay.
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to this item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself at this time. Okay, Vice Chairman, I see no public comment.
Okay, so let's move on to that next item.
Okay, so this is a report that every California public library system compiles each year. And remember that it's for the fiscal year 21-22. So it covers the time period from July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022. So we were doing sidewalk service for some of this time period where we were not open to the public, but we were providing them with materials. We would hand deliver to them outside at the on the sidewalk, and we were providing them with craft kits and other things for their kids to take home and do. And then we began opening up again and doing more in-person programs. So it's definitely the weirdest state report that I've ever filled out. It was really confusing. And they never tell you ahead of time what data they're going to require. So the programming section is all over the place. But they ask you to compile the information for your whole system. So these numbers are for Goleta Valley, Buellton, and Solvang all added together. And then at the very end, there are two pages for each of the branches information separated out. So I use statistics kept by library staff, as well as data that Black Gold Cooperative Library System gives us on a monthly status. They control the data from our computer circulation automation system. And they had a big job of it because we had two different systems, you know, one for the first half of the year and one for the second half. So it was a real challenge for everyone this year. And the report shows some very diverse numbers in certain categories when compared to the previous year. And of course, this was all due to COVID. Overall, it definitely shows a library system returning to normal. Lower numbers than usual, but definitely a robust trend toward recovery. Now, when you look at the page on the screen there, the numbers on the left are the numbers for fiscal year 21-22. The numbers on the right are the numbers for fiscal year 2021. So that was when we were really deep in COVID and we were essentially closed the whole fiscal year. So I'll go over some of these highlights more in depth when we look page by page, but some of the main highlights of the report include the fact that registered cardholders have increased by almost 20% this past fiscal year, which we were thrilled about. This year, the state inquired about the total number of employees in addition to the always requested full-time equivalent. Last year, we had a total of 37 library staff. Volunteers started coming back to the library, putting in a total of 3,495 hours. We could not run the library without our volunteers. We were so happy to be able to welcome them back. They do so much for us. And we circulated over 500,000 physical and electronic materials. Moreover, this is the first year that the book ban was reported in the public library survey. It was on the road for 39 weeks. You may remember that we first put it on the road in Isla Vista in October of 21. And the van and its staff were out for a total of 3,081 hours. And so I think the summary is that while numbers are certainly recovering from the COVID closure, it will take some time until we reach those pre-pandemic numbers. But library staff is doing all they can to attract people to the library through a blend of creative programs, passive programming, technological assistance, homework help, and much more. And so page one of the public California surveys is just, you know, informational. What is our address? What is the library director's name? What is our website address? Things like that. But section two asks for the population of the site, the survey area. And so between us, Solvang and Buellton, it's 100 an $11,000 plus some change. We had 24,747 registered borrowers, and you'll see that last year we had 20,000. So that shows a 20% increase, which we're really happy about. And then you'll see a section on library income. We are largely funded by the county, which gives us the per capita income. Our local cities, parcel tax 3 in Goleta, we're very lucky to have that. And that's pretty much the funding that we get. We all three of us get money from our city councils, which we're very grateful for. And you'll see on line 3.2 under state funds, on the right side, you'll see that $200,000. That's the grant from Senator Limon. And so we only had $30,000 in grant monies that came in fiscal year 21-22. And then it talks about library expenditures in section 4. I'm not going to go over those in any real detail. Section 5 talks about library staff. And we have 37 employees, so we're one of the biggest departments in the city. Our full-time equivalent is 23. We had 646 volunteers, teen and adults. Our adult volunteers help us check in the shipment that we get from the other Black Gold libraries, where our patrons borrow items from other libraries for free. And without our volunteers, we wouldn't be able to do that. We don't have enough staff to do that. So we're very grateful to our volunteers. In library collections, you'll see that we have we have 44,000 children's books, 88,000 total books. So half of our collection is in the children's and teen area. And that's about a half of our circulation as well. We have 13,728 physical video materials. That's line 6.6. And if you look over to the right, we had 17,000 the previous year. What we found with COVID was we were overwhelmed with DVDs on the shelf when we were closed for that first half a year. And we had a lot of duplicates. So we weeded for duplicates and cleared out that section just a little bit. And let's see. The other section that you'll see a wide disparity in number is 6.12, the number of electronic books held. For this past fiscal year, we had 8,626. The previous year, it was 161,899. The reason for that disparity is that Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo left Black Gold, and they held about 150,000 of those electronic books in their own collections that we had, our patrons had access to before when they were in Black Gold. But of course, as you know, they're no longer part of Black Gold. So that's the reason for that disparity. Okay, in section 7, you'll see on line 7.2, we had 126,134 people visit our three branches in total versus 5,341 the previous year. So you can see a huge increase, obviously. And we completed 39,312 reference transactions. So the total circulation of physical materials was 442,238, which is almost exactly twice as much as the previous year. And the circulation of children's materials was 230,000, which is slightly higher than half as much as the previous year. The really great thing is number 7.12, the circulation of non-English materials, which is our Spanish collection. We circulated almost 14,000 items compared to almost 2,000 items last year. So we've really been putting a lot of time and attention into our Spanish collection, and we're starting to see the results. Latinx families are coming in and they're borrowing our Spanish materials, which is just great news. Now there is an error, which I caught fortunately after I printed this, but before I submitted the state report. We do on line 7.15, we do not circulate laptops or Chromebooks, but we do circulate hotspots on line 7.16. So that 47,158 should be on line 7.16. So we have 14 Wi-Fi hotspots that people can check out and bring with them, and they have Wi-Fi wherever they go. So we checked them out 47,158 times. And we have on track to buy 7,000 more of those because they're always on reserve. Under 7.18, we circulated 126,000 e-materials, a little bit down from last year, but people could only get their hands on e-materials easily last year. So that's why that went down a little bit. And we kind of like that because that means they're coming back and they're checking out the physical material. So we're not mad about that. Our total annual circulation for last year was 568,323. And that's almost what we had pre-COVID. And last year that was 351,359. I'm not going to go over the programming numbers because the state made it so confusing. They broke it out by, Janet, if you could go to the next slide, please. There you go. They broke it down by ages, and then they wanted the number of live programs and then the number of live virtual programs and then the attendance at each of those. And it was really hard to figure out, but we'll just say that we have a lot of program attendance at both virtual programs and in-person programs. And you can look at that at your leisure later on. And as you know, we became SIPA compliant, thank you, this year, so that we were able to get the internet funding from the federal government. We had over 70,000 visits to the library website, which is part of the city website and is getting a redesign very soon, within the next month, I believe. And we had over 17,000 wireless sessions using the library wireless. And then 7.45 asked about the number of self-directed activities. And this is sort of the passive programming that I talked about. And we had 15,756 people participate in that. And in 7.47, I listed some of those items: take-home craft kits, in-library scavenger hunts, making cards for veterans and seniors at the senior center, bookmark contest, 1,000 books for kindergarten. So we had items for adults, children, and teens to do, that we just put them out and they could do them in the library or they could take them home, whatever they wished, but it didn't involve staff time other than the preparation of the materials. So then section 10 shows Goleta's statistics, and it shows 10.17 that were owned by the city, and that we have 14 full-time staff equivalent, that our circulation was 317,752 versus last year's 165,000. And then the rest of it is just kind of wish lists about how much would it cost to renovate the building and what our internet speed is and things like that. So 10.1, if you go to the next page after that, ask the same questions for Buellton Library. And that is also a city facility. They're open 5 days a week. We're open six. They have a staff of 2.5 full-time equivalents. They serve a population of 10,659. Buellton and Solvang agreed to split the unincorporated population there in half. Their circulation was 28,126. They are moving into a new library facility. They're working on reorganizing a house into their new library. I'll be meeting with them tomorrow to help them with that. And then if we go two pages from here, we have the information on Solvang Library, which is a county facility. And that makes things interesting because if we need repairs, et cetera, we need to work with the county for that. They have full-time equivalent staff of 2.8. So they have a library page, which Buellton does not. Same population served, 10,659. But their circulation is 42,456. So that gives the basic circulation information for each branch. And obviously Goleta is by far the biggest circulator of materials. So that's the state report. And I can answer any questions that you may have. I realize I went through that really quickly.
I had a question about way back in section 3 for the library income. And mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that the local government income decreased from last year. Can you explain why that was?
3.1. Is that what you're looking at?
Last year's
got. Actually, it decreased from last year.
Right.
Yeah. I think that part of that was that Buellton and Solvang, because of COVID, we did not spend what we were budgeted to spend in areas like books and materials because people couldn't browse the shelves. So they were only placing holds on bestsellers because during sidewalk service, in order to check anything out, you had to place a hold on it and then it would be delivered to you out on the sidewalk. So, mid-list authors were not getting checked out. It was only the best-selling authors that were getting checked out. And DVDs, new DVDs, were not getting requested. So we finally realized, hey, maybe we should stop ordering these until people can start coming back inside the library and browsing the collection, because we were all just overwhelmed with the number of DVDs we had. We used about half of the tables in the adult section to just house the DVDs that were not circulating. We did not spend a lot of that money, so that went into reserves. And so we used some reserves. The county, the cities wanted us to put some of that back into the budget. So I think that is what is the large difference there. It's about $122,000, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can I answer any other questions? Okay.
All right, so I think we're ready to move on. I guess, Janet, do you want to ask for public comment now?
Thank you, Vice Chairman. If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to any of these items, please use the raise your hand icon within the app and unmute yourself at this time. Vice Chairman, I see no public comment.
Okay, so let's move on. We can discuss any future agenda items. Does anyone have any suggestions for future agenda items? Dave or Marcos?
None for me, unfortunately.
Okay, so with that, I believe that we can adjourn. Do we need to vote on that? Or I don't remember what we have to do.
If you could just state the time of adjournment, Vice Chairman.
Okay, we will adjourn now at 6:45 p.m. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you for attending, Robert. Nice.